not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoking crack!
Let's get it going. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you. Coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports and the Hockey Podcast Network on a beautiful Wednesday in Alberta. We're coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios today. We're hanging out. What's going on? Stefan Manberg, early in the chat. Howdy, howdy, howdy. We're coming to you live from Alberta, so that makes sense. Oilers, oh, they blew that one against Dallas. That one hurts. They had a good game against Colorado, maybe a little fatigue. We'll talk them. We'll talk the Flames. They didn't look so good either. Oof, losing against San Jose. Not a great start for either Alberta team to this week. Sharks win 4-3. We'll wrap all that up. We'll talk NHL trade deadline. We'll get you set there. Big show lined up. Tons of fun guests coming our way. But, of course, join the conversation anytime. If you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, wherever you're watching from, say what's up. You got a question, get it in the chat right now. I'm open to answering anything. I mean, okay, maybe not anything, but if you get something hockey-wise, hit it. We don't have to block anyone from the chat today. We're not feeling that type of vibe, World Hockey Report. Let's keep it pretty simple. Coming up on the show later from the Rink Live, we got Kirsten Kroll coming up from the state of hockey. Talk to her about the NCAA tournament. We'll talk to her about the USHL, how things are shaking down there, who to keep an eye on, and, of course, the Minnesota Wild. Yes, we have to ask about that. Then it's Irfan Ghaffar coming up from the fourth period. One of the best, one of the up-and-comers in the TV side, but also just a load of knowledge there. Gets to work with some awesome people at the fourth period. Interested to pick his brain. We'll talk a lot of West Coast hockey there. And again, he's going to be the expert to help break down some of the trade deadline stuff that I have zero chance of wrapping my head around. But let's get to some NHL scores from last night. I told you we'd get you up to date. We will. New Jersey somehow. I don't know if Neil's watching yet, but somehow New Jersey smacked the Rangers around 7-4. The Rangers stink. I don't know what people are thinking about these teams. Like, oh, they're going to be good in 3-4 years. I'll believe it when I see it. It ain't happening. Pittsburgh over Columbus 5-1. St. Louis beats Washington 5-2. Are the Blues back? I think the Blues are kind of back here. Carolina over Tampa 3-2. We got to address this one. Elephant in the room right now. If you are talking about how there was a bench brawl or almost a bench clearing brawl in the Tampa-Carolina game last night, give your head a shake. That's where we'll leave it at, because, yeah, they're off the bench. There was no fisticuffs, there was no nothing. It was hardly words being tossed around. So for everyone to be like, oh my goodness, this is wild, literally, they're skating off the ice, they came together, had a few words, and they pissed off. There was nothing to it for the whole hockey world to overreact like they did. Detroit doubles up Philly 6-3. I'm sorry, Philly, but your team's a disaster right now. Stefan, how well do you know Swedish hockey? For example, are you watching a match? Well, Stefan, I mean, the old day job was working in the hockey industry, so I know Swedish hockey pretty well. Like, if we're going to be talking about, like, players and depth players or Swedish players, yeah, probably not that much. But, the leagues and teams in general, yes, I understand that, Stefan. So if you got something, fire it. If I can't answer it, I apologize. But, again, it's an open conversation anytime. The Islanders, 3 goals in the third period. They shut out Ottawa 3-0. Winnipeg's up 4, shut out Vegas 4-0. I don't think Vegas is that good. I don't know. Stefan, I feel like you're Swedish for some reason. Just the way you spelt okay. That's definitely a European thing. So if you are European, say what's up, where are you at, and we'll hit it off here in the chat right now. Winnipeg, though, they beat Vegas 4-0. I know Vegas is without Brossoit. They played Thompson. They don't have Leonard, but they're a dumpster fire. And this whole Dadonov trade sums up their season right now, because I don't know how they're going to get through. They might just have to keep Mark Stone on LTIR until playoffs. They might just throw it all together for game one of the playoffs and say whatever happens, happens. Still, we'll never understand why the salary cap doesn't exist in playoffs. That's not a tangent for today. Dallas beats Edmonton 5-3. again, you can blame Koskinen, you can blame Nurse, you can blame McDavid. All in all, this team just wasn't good enough to win on a back-to-back in Dallas. You play 56 good minutes, 54 good minutes, still not going to win you a game, especially against a team like Dallas that is buzzing. The Flames lose 4-3 after being up 3-1 on San Jose. Seattle beats Arizona 4-2, and LA hammers Nashville 6-1. A bit of a weird game again, but the Kings are legit. They're not a bad hockey team right now. And it's weird to say because they got so many players who you think should be past their prime and they are battling injuries and this and that. You can make a million excuses. But at the end of the day, the LA Kings are not going to be an easy out in the playoffs, especially the way Jonathan Quick's playing. Calgary still leading the Pacific with 84 points, easily running away with that one right now where it stands. And Colorado, they've pretty much locked up the Central. Like, they've almost mathematically clinched it already, no? What, they're 16 points ahead of the Blues, and there's 20 games left. I guess bad math. Lauren, what's up? I wish Ricard Raquel the best with Pittsburgh, with the Penguins. Penguins fans will love him. Yeah, Lauren, I'm assuming being a California person, you're probably a Ducks fan. It sucks to see him go, but I also think that if you're the Ducks, this is the right move for you. I do believe in having those honest conversations with players and their agents and saying, hey, if you're not going to re-sign here, or if you're not going to honestly re-sign here under a, you know, not a team-friendly deal, but an honest agreement, then you're best off just to get rid of them. Recoup what you can. Say, we're going to rebuild. But if I'm the Ducks right now, I'm almost in all-out blow-up mode. Like, I'm not saying this Lucas Dostal is going to be the next John Gibson, but isn't there a point in time, maybe it's the offseason, where if you can haul in a boatload, and I'm talking a real boatload for John Gibson, doesn't that have to be on the table if you're the Ducks? It sucks. You're going to consider it wasted years with Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras, but you've got Drysdale, you got Zellweger. These guys are going to be absolute weapons in the NHL in 5 years. So start now and build your team for 5 years out. 2027, 2028, the Ducks should be competing for Stanley Cups if they handle things right. That's my thoughts. Also, Ricard Raquel of the Penguins. The Pens are a sneaky good team, and I'm interested. I mean, we're going to talk with Irfan about it because at the fourth period, they're the experts on everything. Let's kid you not. I ain't an expert on the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I still think they're going to be a sneaky tough out. The way Tristan Jarry's been playing, the way Crosby, Malkin are motivated, it's going to be interesting. Lauren, you're a Ducks fan. Raquel was one of my favorite players on our team. Favorite Raquel moment when he made the game-tying goal against the Oilers in Game 5. Oh, my goodness, Lauren. You don't want to say that on here with so many Oilers fans watching. Game 5, that series in general. Corey Perry, you still can't say his name around this city. It's insane. But it was a great series. I think from an outsider perspective, it was an awesome series. And Raquel was an absolute weapon that year. I think Silverberg was also lighting it up. Maybe someone can correct me if I'm wrong there, but that Ducks team, pretty fun to watch. I don't know. I'm interested, Lauren. Do you think I'm right by saying they should build for 4 or 5 years out? Because I don't think anyone in the short term is going to compete with Colorado. The Oilers, who knows where their franchise is going right now. The Flames, their window is small. I don't think the Blues window's that big. Minnesota's going to be in cap hell once the buyouts start to hit. Like, they're not going to have Fleury forever. Cam Talbot's not getting any younger. Kakinen, who they thought was going to be their starting goalie, is apparently pissed off. He got moved. Chicago didn't want him. Then they wanted him. Just an all-around mess there. So I don't mind where the Ducks are at right now. Like, you don't have to be in a playoff spot this year, and that's why you're going to sell. Like, there was a bit where they were top of the Pacific, and everyone's like, oh my goodness, are they legit? Hey, sometimes you get hot at the right time. It's interesting there. Claude Giroux to Florida. We got to talk about this. Join the conversation. Give me your thoughts. Is Florida the team to beat in the East? Still not fully convinced. I still think it's Tampa. I really believe, and it hurts me to say it because we fight with Tampa Bay Lightning fans every single damn year. And I'm not sick of it yet. I'll still fight with you because I think you're the worst. Brandon Hagel to your team is such a clutch move. You have no clue. This guy, you put him in playoffs, he is the perfect playoff player. If you think Sam Bennett is an awesome playoff player, Brandon Hagel has potential to be Bennett on steroids. Not actual steroids. We're not Icarus here. We don't actually condone that. But I think Brandon Hagel could be such a weapon in playoffs that, man, Tampa's dangerous. They're dangerous. Raquel himself even said the Game 5 comeback was his favorite moment with the Ducks. So there's the comeback on Ketela. The comeback on Ketela. Is that where the rink is, Ketela? I was in Anaheim a couple weeks ago. I probably should know this stuff. That's funny, though. Game 5, one of his favorite moments with the Ducks. Makes sense. Like, that year, that playoffs, he was buzzing. He was awesome out there. It'll be interesting to see where Pittsburgh uses him. Like, I think he's going to get some big minutes. Also, what do they do with the Rust in Pittsburgh? Like, he's going to be asking for a lot. That's going to be a big-ass payday they got to hand out. So if you got to sign both of them now, interesting times in Pittsburgh. I think Ronnie Hextall and Brian Burke just said, hey, let's go all in, because I don't know how many more opportunities we're going to get. And with where they're sitting right now in the East, I got to find it right now. Second. So they're behind Carolina by 3 points. Again, they could top Carolina for the East there. They're 3 wins back, 3 points back in total, 9 overtime losses. So Pittsburgh very well could be the 07 championship run, Lauren. That's great. We're getting Travis Mullen on. Good Sasky guy. We're going to get him on the show. He'll have some great stories from that. It was a fun series, honestly. To think of Ottawa and Anaheim in a Stanley Cup final together and call it fun, probably not what everyone expects. I mean, RIP Razor, but Ray Emery was awesome in those playoffs. There was so many moments that you just look back on and go, wow, we were spoiled with some incredible series. Like, you think of the year before, too. Edmonton and Carolina, great series. 04, Calgary and Tampa, the puck was in. Still a great series. Then you get 08 and 09, you get Pittsburgh and Detroit. I don't know, I love that 07-ish, those 2000s eras of hockey. But yeah, 2015 series, that's pretty cool, to the Game 5. Pittsburgh's got a chance, I don't mind it. But Florida adding a guy like Giroux, it's going to help their depth. Where does he slot in, though, in that lineup? They've got so many pieces. And is Joe Thornton going to be on your fourth line? Because watching him, boy, those feet are carrying around some cement out there. Not exactly beautiful. Florida's still probably up there, but I think I'm taking Tampa over them 9 ways to Sunday. Toronto's finally back in a playoff spot. They're ahead of Boston. It's not going to be an easy series, that's for sure. Biggest winners and losers of trade deadline day. It's tough. And I ask that on Twitter all the time just to start the conversation, because I'm interested in hearing what people have to say about, you know, winners, losers. If I can go with a trade deadline week, and it's going to sound biased, I like what Calgary did. I love the Yarncrow addition. I think that him and Lindholm playing together again makes a lot of sense. But I also like, you know, Minnesota did good. If we're considering they're going on a run this year, Nick DeLaurier, that's a perfect playoff player for him. Marc-Andre Fleury, it's a huge upgrade between the pipes. And now you've given yourself a little bit more depth. I don't know if they're actual competitors in the West. Like, if they lose out in the first round, you're going to be like, well, it's the Minnesota Wild. We're not really that surprised. And next year, they're just going to be an absolute dumpster fire because they can't re-sign anyone. So, winners, yeah, it's Minnesota if they go on a run. Obviously, time's going to tell for that. I don't mind what Pittsburgh did. They really solidified their lineup. Losers, it has to be Toronto. And you can say all you want about, oh, Edmonton needs goaltending. Not nearly as bad enough as Toronto does. Toronto needs goaltenders in the worst way. They can't even pick up Harry Soteria, KHL kid off waivers because teams are claiming them. And they didn't think to trade for a goalie? I mean, Dubas is putting his job with the Leafs in Jack Campbell's hands. And that's a scary one. That's why they're the loser, in my opinion. We do have to head off, though, to a commercial break. When we come back from the fourth period, Irfan Ghaffar. If you got a question for him, get it in the conversation now. We'll get to it in a second. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report. We're coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports on the Hockey Podcast Network today.
Dirty Angels
most hat tricks and big wins as the action rolls on. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has your shot to win big too. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's right, a bump in the win column for your team means free bets for you. If the sportsbook isn't The NHL season's been packed with dirty dangles, hat tricks, and big wins as the action rolls on. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has your shot to win big too. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's right, a bump in the win column for your team means free bets for you. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still got a shot to light the lamp. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NHL team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 plus, restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Take your game to the next level with Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock is changing the way we buy top-of-the-line twigs. They're lightweight, balanced, and provide the perfect kick point, whether you're a pro hockey player or a beer league legend. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks are made for you. They're at a price point you can't beat, so check them out today at ProRock.com. Play like a Pro Rock.
Coming in hot there. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you on 12 Ounce Sports and the Hockey Podcast Network. Talking NHL trade deadline. So we thought we'd get the experts on it from the fourth period. Irfan Ghaffar joins us now. Irfan, let's start with Minnesota because that was the team we were talking about right before the commercial break. Are they the winners of the deadline right now? Like, not saying, okay, let's look back at it after the playoff time. I think Minnesota did the most or benefited their team the most with what they could in that 24-hour stretch.
Yeah, I think if you look at the deadline day, they're probably the winner. I mean, look, you get a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury. Now you have a bona fide 1 and 1A, and you know, that's Billy Guerin going for it, right? He had that relationship with Marc-Andre Fleury from those years in Pittsburgh, and you kind of see what happened there. So they're going to be an interesting team. They're a team with, obviously, Kirill Kiprusoff, who's an unbelievable talent. And they need to maximize the most of what they have with their opportunity right now. You know, they've got some guys under contract that aren't expiring yet. So this is a time where you go and you try and go for it, because to me, their division's obviously, other than the Colorado Avalanche, it's wide open. And then when you look at the Western Conference right now, I think that with them, the Flames, and then obviously Colorado, you know, there are a few teams, they're one of the three teams that can actually make a push for it. But my real deadline winner, and it was a couple weeks before, was the Calgary Flames. I mean, getting Cale Yarncroak and then getting Tyler Toffoli and then getting Cale Yarncroak just absolutely shored up that team. They're playing really, really good hockey. I know they lost to San Jose, or I know they lost the other night, but whatever, it's fine. It's all good. I really do think that team is going to be a force to be reckoned with come the postseason.
I agree with that. And that was my pick as well for the week adding up to it. For Minnesota, do you think Nick DeLorie is a sneaky big addition? Like, we all saw the impact he had in his first game with Minnesota, but I think this is a perfect playoff player where he's not just a tough enforcer out there. Like, he can actually play the game, and come playoff time, that's exactly what you need in my mind.
Well, I think if you go back and you look at teams that are built to win Stanley Cups, and I'm obviously going to use the Tampa Bay Lightning, like, you look at guys that are playing on those third and fourth lines. You look at guys like Patrick Maroon. Yes, he's a big, tough, physical guy. He's tough to play against, but he can play. He can play on that second power play unit. He can put the puck in the back of the net. And I think Nick Deslauriers is much of the same. You know, he's a guy that you can play up and down the lineup. He's a guy that's not afraid to go to bat for his teammates, obviously play in the dirty areas. And to succeed in the National Hockey League in the playoffs, you need those types of players to win. Now, I'm not saying you need the big bruisers and guys that'll only get into fights, but you need guys to win like that, like you mentioned, especially when it comes to the postseason. And Deslauriers, for Billy Garrett and his staff, when they were looking at it, he checked all the boxes.
So let's go down to Florida now. They get Giroux. Do you think, and I don't know, like, I don't want it to sound scummy or anything, but do you think Giroux kind of screwed over Philly by having it go public that Florida was the only place he wanted to be? Like, do you think that kind of hurt their hand of cards they were holding?
Yes and no. I mean, they could have not traded him. Right. So yeah. There could have been that. And then they could have said, OK, well, no, if you're this person. But for a guy that's been and meant so much to that franchise for so long, I'm pretty sure you earn the right to tell the people where you want to go for everything that he's done for that organization and all his service and time that he's put in the community in Philadelphia as well. I think he had the right. I mean, screwed him a little bit because it came out and that was the only team. But in my opinion, I think Giroux did have the right to decide where he wanted to go. And from a Florida Panthers perspective, man, that team is absolutely bananas on paper. They are stacked. They're like, I saw the other day they were practicing with a 5-man forward power play unit. Come on.
And what a season Huberto's having. Like, everyone knew how good he was, but this year he's just absolutely taken his game to a new level, and I still think Barkov's underrated just because of the market he plays in. Like, there's no changing that.
100%. Huberto and Barkov are two of the most underrated players in the National Hockey League, and it's not even close. I don't care what anyone else says. It's those two. Just because of, yes, where they play, they get no attention. And you know what? I don't think that they mind it. I really don't. I mean, it's obviously nice living in Sunrise and in Florida and doing your thing there with the no state tax, but two of the most underrated players in the National Hockey League don't get enough attention. All the spotlight should be on that Florida Panthers team heading into the postseason.
Guys love it. And everyone goes, oh, well, if they're not in Canada, they're not going to get the same endorsement money. These guys don't care. They're driving around in McLarens down there. None of the media are bugging them. They got to talk to two people a week. It's the absolute dream down there for them. Hey, we brought up drama, and this came to the top of my head. It's not even on my notes. It's Kyle Davidson and Kyle Dubas, and you work with one of my favorite insiders too. And so for the information to get out and then for Dubas to kind of throw a fit, what did you think when you saw that?
I laughed because it's just a couple Kyles going at it, war of words or whatever you want to call it. Look, I didn't make a big deal of it, and it's fun. I mean, for us in the media and for people that follow the game, it's fun. I think, like, we always complain and whine about hockey not having any of the personalities. There's never a war of words and things like that. And when stuff like this comes out, it's like, oh my God, they shouldn't have happened, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, who cares? I have no problems with coaches calling out coaches, with GMs calling out coaches, players calling out GMs, and players calling out players. I have absolutely no problem with it. I'm all about anarchy when it comes to sports, especially when it's involving hockey. So I loved it.
Root for chaos. I like the mentality. I'll sit there. Hey, back out west for Vancouver. Let's talk about them. Frank dropped the rumors about how much the team wasn't happy with Hamonic, didn't like him. I think the word hate was thrown in there a little bit. Like, did you hear some of these rumors too? Like, obviously, guys are, you know, they're not mad he's out of town, or you would have heard more people say, oh, we miss him. It sucks to see him go. Like, ain't no one talking about that in Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, look, I live out here. I've covered this team for a very, very long time, and I can tell you that it ruffled some feathers the way that this season kind of started with the Hamonic situation here in Vancouver. And look, Tyler Mott got a video tribute by the Vancouver Canucks. Travis Hamonic didn't. I mean, like, this thing goes to show you, if you look at it and kind of see who meant a little bit more to the organization and things like that. But the breakup was a little sour. I don't think the X is going to be calling anytime soon. Let's just put it that way.
Are you surprised that Besser and Horvat, or at least one of the two, is still there? Like, did you think that there was a chance that they would actually blow up that old core?
I thought that there was a chance that we would see more movement than just Tyler Mott. And then you saw what he went for, and you say, okay, really? Was that it? Just a fourth-round pick? Man. But the asking price was probably really, really, really high for players like Connor Garland, Brock Besser, JT Miller. I think the JT Miller asking price is astronomical. So they're going to try and figure that out here in the offseason, whether they can come to an extension with JT Miller and their captain, Bo Horvat, as well. Or they're going to have to trade him near and around the draft. It's going to be a funny thing because the Canucks acquired JT Miller at the draft a few years ago in Vancouver. And now, if you look at it, he could be a player that they trade away at the draft in Montreal.
Why do you think the Oilers are sitting back so much? You know, they make a couple moves here and there. Like, can you tell me anything? Can you give me an explanation, Irfan? Like, why is Ken Holland not saying, use the Tampa Bay mentality here, trade away your draft picks, trade away your prospects, and try win the damn Stanley Cup?
You've got two of the best players on the planet for the last couple of years. He, number one, I think 97, Connor McDavid is going to, he might, you know, after this season or maybe next year, he might say, okay, what's the deal here? You need more defensemen. You need a goalie. You went and got Evander Kane, which for, to their credits, worked out for them. He's playing well. But that was it. Like what? I just don't get it. It boggles my mind. You have an organization of the Edmonton Oilers, such a storied franchise. You have an opportunity with two of the best players in the world in a brand new, basically a brand new rink. And you just sit there and you hope for the best once you get into playoffs. And I'm forgetting that you got to actually get into the playoffs too, right? So they have some work cut out for them to even make the postseason. And you feel bad because I understand the frustration for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Yes, you get paid all this money in the world, but I guarantee you they probably take a little bit less money to see this team improve drastically, get another defenseman, get a goaltender, and try and make a run in the postseason. That one shocks me, especially when your rival in Alberta is doing what they did in the offseason and what they did at the deadline.
No kidding. Irfan Gafar, my guest here from the fourth period. Hey, do you got an update on the Vegas debacle? Have you heard anything new?
Oh, my God. What, the way that they're playing or the Dadonov thing?
Well, the Dadonov thing, but the way they're playing, I don't think we need an update on that. This team stinks.
Yeah. They aren't good right now, and then they're in a tricky spot. Look, the Vegas Golden Knights and the National Hockey League know that that team can't afford to not make the playoffs. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here over the next month and how they improve. We think that Mark Stone may be coming back in a couple of weeks, so that will definitely help improve there. But, yeah, it's an interesting one. And obviously the situation with Evgeny Dadonov and, you know, obviously the Ottawa Senators are going to be blamed for it just because it's the Ottawa Senators and not disclosing the no trade and the list and all of that. But if it's clear and it's black and white is what the NHLPA is saying, then the trade's basically going to be void. So it's going to be interesting. And Ryan Kessler is going to have to go back to Anaheim, I guess.
Everyone's saying like, oh, you know, how would Vegas not know about this? And I fully agree. Like you kind of laugh just because it's Ottawa involved, of course, but like,
yeah,
it's not like they're sending in his no trade request on a carrier pigeon or they're not faxing it to him. Like there's gotta be some sort of database where it's entered into that Vegas should be able to see it.
I think for most players with no trade lists or no trade clauses or whatever it is, teams ask them, from what I've been told from some of the players that do have them, teams ask them for their list at least twice a year and see if their list has changed or to update their list. So for a team to not know or say that they didn't know, it's really shocking to me on both ends of it because players usually do have to provide an updated list unless they're looking not to trade them at all. But even then, the general manager and the president of hockey ops, wherever it is, usually wants to know what it is just in case a GM calls out of the blue asking about your player.
It's kind of weird. Like, I wonder how many people have Anaheim on their no trade list. Have you never been to Anaheim, Newport Beach, ever hear of it? Like, that's just a weird one in my mind.
It's funny you mentioned that to me because you were just talking about Florida and how, like, you know, no attention, nothing like that. I've talked to guys that have played in California for all three of the teams. They love going to the rink in flip-flops and not having to worry about anything. So it's one of those situations where California or Florida, sign me up.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad place to be considering Edmonton winters. If you got a question for Irfan, join the conversation right now on 12-Ounce Sports Hockey Podcast Network. Get it in quick. Hey, did Calgary do enough to compete with Colorado in a 7-game series?
Yeah, I really do. I really do think that they did enough. And it's going to start with their goaltending, right? If you get Vezina caliber Jacob Markstrom night in and night out, which he is proving to be this season, they're going to have a pretty good shot and their defense is good. You've got guys like Eric Gudbranson who, you know, many people wanted him out of the league and said he couldn't play. He is playing actually pretty well. He's skating with Zadorov and they have an actual pretty good pairing over there. And then you look at their forward group, Johnny Gaudreau, what a season from that guy. And then you have the Matthew Tkachuks and you go down the list, Elias Lindholm And then you have, you know, you get Calle Yarncroke, and their team is just so stacked up and down that lineup. They are built to win. And literally, they've bought into absolutely everything that their head coach is selling. And it's a tough team to play against, right? You look at it, and, you know, I've talked to guys on that team, and they just say they're having fun playing hockey. They get what Sutter wants from them, and they're a really hard team to play against. I think that that's the biggest thing. On the Colorado perspective, when they're firing on all cylinders, they're a very hard team to beat, right? You have a couple of the best players in the world up front. Nazem Kadri also having an unbelievable season in a career year. Obviously, it's what players tend to do, right? But if they get Bowen Byram back, if you get a healthy Bowen Byram, I think that changes things a little bit as well for them. So it'll be interesting to see what the Colorado Avalanche do. I think their goaltending might be their biggest issue heading into the playoffs.
Marcus is in the conversation here. You got to pick one winner and one loser, Marcus. He's got Montreal, Florida, Vancouver, New York, Calgary as the winners, Colorado, New York, the Islanders, the Sharks, and Edmonton as losers. You got to pick one, Marcus. You got to stay the course here. Hey, do you think Pittsburgh actually has a chance to come out of the East, or do you think they're kind of just throwing money into the fire here?
Whenever you have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, you can't count them out. You really can't, to be honest. And that team has got some guys playing well. Evan Rodriguez having an unbelievable year. John Marino, I know the Vancouver Canucks had some really, really high interest in him. And there were some talks there, but obviously nothing came through there with that young defenseman. So and then you trade and acquire the services of a Ricard Raquel, right? And he's a very good hockey player. So the Pittsburgh Penguins are the Pittsburgh Penguins until, you know, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin aren't playing anymore. You can't count them out just because of that, the talent that those two have.
Last one for you. Style points. You, as a West Coast guy, I can't believe you like those Toronto Maple Leafs reversible jerseys. You have to tell the people why.
Okay, here's my thing about that. It's not so much the jersey. I just like the collaboration. I think that for a team to associate themselves with a brand such as big as Justin Bieber, especially in hockey, it does a stupid amount of things. You look at the Raptors and what they did with OVO and Drake, and you look at what other teams and organizations are doing to build their brands with players. So for a hockey team to get involved with Justin Bieber, yes, I know he's a fan, and to have it go about the way that is, yeah, the jersey itself might not be great, but they're going to sell, and you're going to reach a new audience, and you're going to see people in LA wearing this Toronto Maple Leafs reverse jersey just because it's Justin Bieber. And I think that that's the biggest thing, and that's what this league needs, is more of that.
Okay, well, at least you clarified yourself, so we won't just absolutely shred you on Twitter. Irfan, this has been fun. Hey, no, I got one more for you. I just seen a Kevin Weeks tweet, too. Who's the top insider in the game right now? Is it Weeksy? Like, no offense to Dave Pignota. I know you work with him, and he's an awesome guy, and he's great for breaking stuff. Who do you think's the best insider in the game right now?
Weeksy's the most entertaining.
Yeah, that's for sure. Those videos are gold.
That's for sure. Yeah, his videos were great. He had a lot of fun with it. And I think that that's the biggest thing. I mean, for us too, with David and Dennis, we like to have fun with it. And I know that Elliot does, and Drager and Frank and everyone that goes and goes about their business. But I think the biggest thing is, if you can have fun providing people with information and doing your job and making people laugh, at the end of the day, hockey and what we do is an entertainment. We're in the entertainment industry. So I think that that should come as number one. And yes, getting news and breaking it and things like that are fun as well. But man, we get paid to cover a game for a living, so we can't take it for granted too much.
Irfan, you're the best. Hey man, where can people find you and stuff? I know you're doing a lot. You got the freelance stuff going a little bit too after a couple of stops in TV. What do you got on the go right now that you can plug for people?
Yeah, I'm just hanging with my boy Pignota and my other boy Dennis Bernstein, and we're doing the fourth period thing, so it should be fun with them till the end of this season, and then we'll kind of see what happens after that. But I'm definitely interested. So yeah, it's a fun time with those boys.
Awesome, man. This has been a blast. Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate you.
Absolutely, no problem.
Irfan Ghafar right there from the fourth period. Go check him out. He's on Twitter. We pump up his stuff at World Hockey RPT. You can go chuck him a follow. Marcus, I'm interested. I'm going back to your list, and it just makes me think, like, what made Colorado the loser? What do you think Colorado could have done? You got a minute to get it in here before we head off to a commercial break. I agree, Edmonton's a loser. I think they could have done more. The Islanders, they probably should have sold instead of signing old guys for some reason. The Sharks, I don't know, they recuperated a little bit. Like, you know, Montreal, Seattle, they got draft picks. Yeah, I think that's good for them. Florida, are they that big of winners? Like, Sherratt, yeah, that's good because Ekblad's out. But end of the day, if this team doesn't go far in playoffs, are we going to look back at it and say, oof, what were they building? They had something good going, and they just absolutely blew it up at the deadline. Vancouver is a winner? I don't know. I think they could have got more. I think you could have done way moving a Besser. I think you could have done way moving a Horvat. Dare I say Demko? Because I feel like the return on a Thatcher Demko would make someone shit a brick. That's a biz saying now for TNT. I got to use it, though. But, okay, Canucks lunch. They'll discuss that more after on the Hockey Podcast Network. I got to head off to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll have some fun. Kirsten Kroll is going to join the show. We'll talk all things Minnesota hockey, maybe a little college hockey, USHL puck in there as well. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report. Don't forget, go check out QuackStats, about advanced player tracking technology. Today on social media, QuackStats, your go-to source for the best player stats. Cody Jansen with you. Quick timeout. The NHL season's been packed with dirty dangles, hat tricks, and big wins. As the action rolls on, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has your shot to win big, too. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's right, a bump in the win column for your team means free bets for you. If the Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you still got a shot to light the lamp. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NHL team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 plus, restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Take your game to the next level with Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock is changing the way we buy top-of-the-line twigs. They're lightweight, balanced, and provide the perfect kick point, whether you're a pro hockey player or a beer league legend. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks are made for you. They're at a price point you can't beat, so check them out today at ProRock.com. Play like a Pro Rock.
World Hockey Report, Cody Jansen with you. Be sure to use promo code THPN when signing up on DraftKings. Get those hockey odds in there. Huge thanks to Irfan Ghaffar from the fourth period for hopping on the show earlier today. We'll now snap it down to Minnesota. Kirsten Kroll from The Rink Live is hanging out down there. Kirsten, what's going on? How you been?
I've been great. How have you been?
Good. It's been a while, but awesome to see that you're doing some stuff in the junior realms with the Rink Live. Still kicking it around with the Minnesota Wild. We'll get to that in a little bit. Doing some in-game host stuff. That's awesome to see. And we will talk Marc-Andre Fleury, I promise. But I got to start off. You posted your NCAA college hockey bracket on Twitter. St. Cloud, out first round? Are you kidding me right now?
You know, I just can't help but laugh because, you know, I expected some people to kind of, you know, mess with me a little bit for my predictions, but like, I did not expect to have so many people responding to it as they did. And first and foremost, I would like to say somebody commented like, oh, I really like how you had three of the four Minnesota teams in the Frozen Four. I truly did not even realize I did that until the very end. But, I mean, you know, St. Cloud, I hope I'm wrong. I'm a very proud alumni of St. Cloud State. Know a lot of people with that program still. I hope I'm wrong. I just, you know, I had to go against my heart there. because especially with the goaltending situation right now, with David Renick potentially being day to day, and with Quinnipiac, I don't know if I see him getting past the first round, but I hope I'm wrong.
Crushing for the Huskies right there. Oh, we got a bunch of people in the chat here. John says the Leafs aren't going to beat Tampa Bay. I think that's from the last conversation. Jacob says, hey, what's up? Wild ain't winning it this year. It's the Canes year. Well, that's a hot take, Jacob. We'll get to NHL talk later. Oh, so you've got Minnesota State winning it. Why? Is it Dryden McKay? Is he that good or what?
You know, Dryden McKay, I do think he's had a couple of great seasons, especially this year, too. I don't know. I've been able to catch a couple of Minnesota State games this year and just seeing the depth that they have on their team, what they've been able to do this season and their competition in their regional. I think it's possible. And especially too, once you get to the Frozen Four too, I mean, it can be anyone's game, but I've just really been impressed with Minnesota State the past couple of years. And so then also too, I also have UMD in my national championship. I was working the Frozen Faceoff this past weekend, and so I got to see Denver, I got to see Western, and then North Dakota, and then, of course, UMD. There's some sort of switch UMD is able to turn on in the postseason to where they just are such a strong team, and you look at the talent they have on their roster as well. I was just really impressed with them in the games that they did play and ultimately winning the NCHC playoff tournament, so...
Not UMD fans here. Nope, can't agree with you there.
See, okay, I'm not a UMD fan either, but I just, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but just going off what I've seen in recent games, this is just what I had to go with.
Well, I'm really proud of you for not being a St. Cloud homer, although I wish you still were a little bit more of a St. Cloud homer, just a little bit.
I am a homer. I'm still cheering for them all the way. Like I said, roll cloud until the day I die. But I'm trying to be an unbiased reporter here. I'm just trying to look objectively at everything.
Roll cloud something only people that went to the school or partied at the school know about. Jacob says Duke is winning March Madness. Well, that's basketball. I feel like Jake's poking at me here a little bit. I can't stand Duke in basketball. Okay, move it along. We won't dive into that. Hey, how's the USHL been this year? What's up with that? Obviously, it's a league where I'm in Canada. We don't see it too much. How's it been? Who's the team to watch? Who's the players we should be paying attention to?
Well, there's a handful, and I've been really fortunate enough that I've gotten to chat with a few of them. Most recently, Adam Fantilli. I have a prospect profile coming out on him in the next couple of weeks here. He's projected to be one of arguably the top five. Some people recently have even floated around maybe the overall draft pick in the 2023 NHL draft. So I got to talk to him this past week, also got him on for a little bit for the show that I host weekly called Today in the USHL. You can find all of that on The Rink Live, but he's one player for sure I say to look out for. As far too as playoff teams that are looking and in the hunt for Clark Cup, Dubuque, Chicago Steel, Tri-City, Sioux City, there's a few really good teams that have already clinched. A lot of great competition. Stephen Halliday is another great player around the league, potentially could get drafted in this year's draft. And so I could go on and on. There's a lot of players and a lot of good teams, a lot of great people around that league. So it's been a lot of fun so far.
How are my Des Moines Buccaneers doing?
Not great.
No, I don't want to hear that.
Great okay. This season.
Okay, we won't talk about them then. Is that not one of the better barns? Have you got a chance to go check it out yet?
I haven't. I've been to Green Bay and more recently Waterloo. So Waterloo, I was very impressed with the atmosphere down there. They really showed up for their team, and it was a really fun game to be at. They were playing Dubuque.
Fair. Yeah, there's some good barns. Like, some teams were drawing fans. I think Sioux City or Sioux Falls, whichever one it is, I always forget. They were drawing a ton back in the day. X says, going to check out a game tomorrow in Albany. I don't know. Is it the USA? Oh, well, that's a college hockey one. I'm a little bit late there. Maybe he's a second behind. I'd be thrown off thinking Albany's getting a USHL team for a second. You mentioned that Fantilli.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, you mentioned that Fantilli kid in Chicago. He's going to Michigan, correct?
Correct.
Oh, of course. Michigan gets everyone, eh?
They do. They really do.
And you've got them losing to AIC in that opening round. You got some inside information for us, or do you think they're too young?
I don't have inside information. It's just kind of one of those gut feeling things. And let me explain why. So partially just like poking fun at, you know, us St. Cloud fans who got our hearts broken a couple years ago in the regionals. St. Cloud was the number one seed, number one in the tournament, and they lost the opening round to 16 AIC. So I think they're a sneaky team for one. I don't think you can count them out. So going, you know, right now it's just kind of like history repeats itself kind of going on in my mind. Michigan has all the expectations on them going up against underdog AIC. I think anything could happen. So that's kind of the reasoning behind that pick right there.
Fair enough. The Beer Sports Whatever podcast says hi. Adam Benilla wants to know, as Coyotes just picked up Nathan Smith at Minnesota State, can he become a number one center? He's putting up nasty numbers this year.
You know, I think it's possible, maybe not right away when he leaves Minnesota State, maybe getting some reps in the AHL right away, but I would, yeah, why not?
So obviously he's a skilled player. If you think of someone else who at this NCAA tournament is must-watch material for people who don't pay attention to college hockey that much, who is it?
Oh my goodness. There's some really good talent for sure. I would say Noah Cates for UMD is one player to be on the lookout for. A lot of people excited about him, expecting him to go to Philly right when UMD's season is done. So he's one player that was also on the Olympic team that I think people would look out for. Dryden McKay for Minnesota State, obviously another one. Ben Myers for the Gophers, another solid player. So there's a lot of players that I would say to look out for. There's even more, but a lot of really good talent in this NCAA tournament this year.
Well, I think Kent Johnson's taking it over for Michigan, and he's going to win. I'm sorry to bust your bracket early, but I think Michigan, just because of Kent Johnson's, got my vote. Soda Pods in the chat says, Janner, what's up, buddy? Hey, we'll talk NHL now. It's Minnesota Wild. I talked about with Irfan Gafar earlier from the fourth period. The Wild. And we'll start with Marc-Andre Fleury. That's obviously the biggest move. This seems like a year they're going for it, Kirsten. Were you expecting this? Were you kind of thinking they had a chance to go in? Or were you like, maybe Bill Guerin's going to sit back this year and just, you know, wait for some of these young kids to come up?
First off, I will say when it comes to Bill Guerin, do not count him out. I think, like, he's arguably one of the more aggressive general managers in the league. And in the best way, like, he's not sitting around waiting for things to happen. Like, he's making moves, he's getting in there. And especially in Minnesota, I don't think that's something that we've seen ever. And so when I started hearing rumblings last week that, you know, the Wild might get Andre Fleury, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if that would actually happen. And then, you know, you hear the news breaking on Monday, and then he comes to St. Paul that evening. He didn't play in that game against the Golden Knights, but was back up to Cam Talbot. And it just, even to seeing the fans, he wasn't even playing, but so many fans asking about him, making signs. Some guy taped Fleury on the back of like an old Wild jersey. So that was awesome to see. So there's so much excitement in Minnesota having got him. And I think too, this just shows not only is Bill Guerin all in, but the entire organization is all in to try to make a run for the cup this year. And when you look at the talent that they have on the roster and where they're currently sitting in the standings, why not? Like, why count them out? They've been, you know, on the outside looking in the past few years, making it into the postseason, but getting eliminated in the first round. This year could be the year. And I say, don't count out the Wild, especially having seen them play in person multiple times this year. No, they had a little bit of a slump there just a few weeks ago, but why not? Let's go Minnesota.
Like, I love to count out the Wild because I have it out with the fans once a week, Kirsten. But okay, so one of the reasons I do think they're winners, and it's not Marc-Andre Fleury, it's Nick DeLaurier, and his pressers going wild from today because he's got this unbelievable grin and Muzzy going on and everything. I was seeing pictures float around, but I actually think that this guy's a perfect playoff player. Like, he's massive. He just absolutely trucks guys out there. He can score. He gets to the dirty area. He's a bully. Like, there's got to be some excitement around picking up a legit top five enforcer grinder in the league right now.
I mean, there is a lot of excitement surrounding him this past week, too. And especially when he had, I believe it was his first press conference right after getting moved to Minnesota. He was asked about his skill set. And he's like, what skill set? So that quote was going viral. It still is. Respect him for saying that, too, because it was just a fantastic quote. And then especially, too, Monday night against Vegas goes out. First game as a member of the Wild, gets his first goal on the team, first goal of the night. The crowd went wild, so more excitement there, but also, too, something that I really liked. I saw in, again, his press conference, he noted, like, you know, I'll be that guy that'll go out and take those penalties so Marcus Foligno doesn't have to always be, you know, the enforcer on the Wild. Like, he can step in and do that so that Foligno, too, gets more opportunities to not be in the box, but taking shots on net, too, and hopefully getting on the score sheet more. So, you know, just that quote, too, just showing he's a team guy. So a lot of excitement surrounding him, too, and I'm excited to see what he's going to continue to bring to the squad.
Were you surprised they parted ways with Kaapo Kähkönen? Like, obviously, it wasn't a great season for him. Do you think that kind of just shows of, hey, we've got a lot of faith in Jesper Wallstedt coming up, and we think he'll be our goalie of the future? Or do you think there was some bad blood? Because Kähkönen clearly was not happy to be moved. He made that known.
You know, I wouldn't entirely say it's surprising. I know goaltending was a debate here even earlier in the season. I do think once the Wild were getting into the slump that they were a few weeks ago, losing to teams that they absolutely should not have, not a good couple week stretch for the team. So I think once you hit that point, changes need to be made. And I know Bo Guerin originally was like, no, I like our team, but then they hit that slump. And obviously all of the moves that we have recently seen this past week came to fruition. But another aspect too, to look at it from a different angle, I believe his contract was up at the end of this year and all of the cap hell is going to hit the Wild starting next season. And then the 2 years following, so having to sign him to a new deal too, I don't know how that would play out in the grand scheme of things with the cap space too. So I think that probably was a part of it, but I'm not entirely surprised to see that move have happened.
I got one last one for you, and you're in the building enough with, you know, Kaprizov coming to the Wild. It's kind of brought new life to Minnesota Wild fans, has it not? Like, can you feel it in the building that there's a little bit more energy and excitement now that this team isn't just a meddling middle of the pack, get into the playoffs, lose out first round? Like, can you feel it there too, or are we just seeing that from an outside perspective?
150%. Kaprizov is arguably the biggest player in Minnesota history, and he's only been on the team for what, two seasons now? Yeah, it is. But you know, you look at everything he's done, Calder winner last season, the excitement surrounding him, like, he is a franchise player, and you know, we're gonna see him around Minnesota for years to come still. But even walking around the arena, seeing all of the fans holding their signs, wearing Kaprizov jerseys. And there's even been a number of little kids that I've just spoken to around the arena or even doing mic interviews. I'll just ask, like, oh, who's your favorite player on the Wild? Almost every single one of them say Kaprizov is. So the excitement is there. People love him in Minnesota. And I mean, he's fun to watch, and he's somebody too, like, little kids, especially, like I mentioned, like, they're looking up to, and he's their favorite as well.
It's a hot take and maybe a little bit of slander towards Gabrick, but no, Kirsten, this has been a blast. Hey, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. Glad to hear everything's going great over at the Rink Live. That's awesome. You found a spot there, and it's awesome that you're still doing some in-game hosting for the Wild. So enjoy the rest of the season, and we'll connect down the road.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you for having me on. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Kirsten Kroll right there joining us from the Rink Live on World Hockey Report. Okay, we got to wrap this thing up here. We got like 1 minute left. City Life Projects in the chat. Great show, buddy. Love the guest today. Shout out State of Hockey. Hey, we got to talk Minnesota. They're doing something. And that's, they've been a boring middle of the pack team that hasn't excited anyone for how long. All of a sudden, Billy Guerin says, put them in a wheelbarrow. We are bringing in players. I don't care what it's going to cost. I don't care who I'm going to piss off. I want Marc-Andre Fleury as my starting goaltender. I want to be the toughest team in the Central. I'm bringing in Nick DeLaurier. You know, they handed out that big money to Kaprizov, and they said, hey, we need our star too. you know, if you think about it, Vegas has got Eichel, Edmonton's got McDavid, Calgary's got Goudreau, St. Louis has Tarasenko, Colorado's got MacKinnon. Well, Minnesota's got Kaprizov. I mean, I can't stand the Russian. I can't stand how much people talked to him before this season. But end of the day, he's still a pretty damn good player. I don't know if they're going to get out of the first round. Said that from the start. This is very well a team that could lose in the first round, and everyone starts throwing flames at Billy Guerin. But so far, so good in Minnesota Wildland. Huge thanks to Irfan Gafar for hopping on here as well. You, the listener, for joining the conversation to talk some trade deadline on World Hockey Report. If you miss any of the conversations with Irfan or Kristen Kroll, you can download it on the Hockey Podcast Network. Show's going to be up this afternoon. You can download the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast from. Don't forget, go check out Quack Stats and Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, the best hockey sticks coming to you from Canada. It's a family-owned company. The best price point, the best stick. I'm telling you, if you're a hockey player, you better be using a Pro Rock hockey stick, especially if you're watching this show. That's going to do it for me and the rest of the World Hockey Report team. Until next week, everyone, you know the drill. Be kind, be better.